Hello and welcome. My name is Kevin Heffernan, and I'm from the School of Policy Studies. Today, I'm going to be talking about Communications Solrón. It is a large first-year course. I teach this mostly in English. About 400 students take this course. It is a course about communication, both intercultural communication and communication between Japanese. The course is based on my own experience living in Japan, as well as different theories from the West. The topic for today is categorization. This is an important idea for understanding how communication works. I will explain. When we see something, we put it into a category. In other words, this is a tool for seeing the world. For example, if we see a small dog, we put it into the category dog. This is automatic and universal. It is also subconscious. We do not think about it every time we do it. This picture shows the example of the category dog. There are many types of dogs within the category: small dogs, large dogs. But for all types of dogs, they belong to this one category. There are other categories, of course, such as cats and bird, but not just animals, people as well. For example, teacher, senpai, police officer, friend, etc. The important point is that everything is put into categories in this way. But which categories are used? This is not a simple question as it may seem. This is a combination of both universal and cultural knowledge. Let me explain. Not every language in the world has every category. To give this point, I am going to use the examples of colors and seaweeds. Let me explain colors first. Look at this example here. Which of these are dark colors? Which of these are light colors? Most people will answer the same way. That is because people see colors the same way. Another example of something that is universal is emotion, such as happy or sad. People feel happy in the same way. It does not depend on culture. So, light and dark colors are universal categories because most people see them the same way. Every language in the world has words for these. But are all colors universal? Anthropologists did research on this question. They did this by traveling around the world and gathering data from many different languages. They gathered data from important and big languages such as English and Japanese. They also gathered data from many smaller languages spoken in Africa, North America, Asia, and other places in the world. Look at this example here. This example is from the language called Tiv. It is spoken in Africa. Tiv has names for all the colors, but some of the words are the same. For example, the word for white and the word for light blue is the same word. In this way, Tiv only has three different color words. Researchers went around the world and gathered colored words from many different languages. Based on this data of color words from many languages of the world, they concluded that there is a hierarchy of colors. There are basic colors, and there are more advanced colors. Basic colors are color words that are in many languages of the world. In contrast, advanced color words are color words that are in few languages of the world. This picture shows the color hierarchy. At the top are basic words. At the very top are black and white. These are believed to be in all languages. Then red, yellow, blue, and green are the other basic words. These are in many languages. As we go down, we come to the bottom with the more advanced words. These are in fewer languages. The important point here is the hierarchical relationship. Specifically, a more advanced word implies a more basic word. What does this mean? I will explain. Let me give you an example of a field researcher. She is working on a language that has not been recorded. She is wondering if there is a word for yellow. She has found words for red, blue, green, and brown. But what about yellow? Well, if we look at the hierarchy, we see that brown is more advanced than yellow. Now, I said that because it is a hierarchical relationship, more advanced colors imply more basic colors. Therefore, brown implies that there must be yellow. This researcher should continue looking for this word yellow. She will most likely find such a word. TIV is interesting, but you do not have a relationship with such a language. What about languages that you are more familiar with, such as Japanese, Chinese, and English? Do Japanese, Chinese, and English show this hierarchical pattern? I will explain. First, let's think about Japanese. Read the color words from the top to the bottom. Do you see a pattern? Near the top of the hierarchy are many color words that end with E. Near the bottom of the hierarchy are many color words that do not end with E. In English, we call these two groups of words E adjectives and NA adjectives. The middle area, the blue box, is a bit confusing as it has both E adjectives and NA adjectives. But other than that, there is a clear pattern. The E adjective words are more basic and the NA adjective words are more advanced. Next, let's look at Chinese. This time, count the number of Chinese characters. The basic words at the top of the hierarchy only have one Chinese character. The advanced words near the bottom of the hierarchy have more than one Chinese character. Again, the pattern is not perfect. The middle is a little bit confusing. The word for green only has one character, but blue and yellow have two characters. However, in general, the pattern does fit. What about English? English does not use kanji. Instead, let's look at how old each word is. For example, the word pink is a new word in English. How do we know this? There is a very big dictionary called the Oxford English Dictionary that tells us how old a word is. I will show a picture of the dictionary. Here it is. The dictionary in this picture is the second edition. It was completed in 1989 and has 20 volumes. There are about 600,000 entries in the dictionary. This is not the biggest dictionary in the world, but it is the most comprehensive dictionary. What does this mean? It means that for each word, it has the most information. Importantly for us, it lists the history of each word, including when it first was written down in the English language. We can use this dictionary to see how old the different color words are. In this picture here, I have replaced the color words with how old they are. The old words are older than the writing system for English, so we do not know exactly how old they are, but they are very old. Again, you can see a pattern. Looking from the top down to the bottom, we see that the older words are more basic and the newer words are more advanced. As before, this is not a perfect pattern. Some of the older words, for example, gray from 8th century, is older than a more basic word, such as blue and yellow. However, in general, the pattern does fit. By the way, Japanese shows the same pattern. The more advanced words are more recent. They were also either borrowed from languages or invented. For example, pink was borrowed from English, whereas according to the Japanese dictionary, murasaki was taken from the name of a plant. Again, the pattern is not perfect. For example, murasaki is a much older word than pink. However, in general, the pattern still fits. Let me summarize what I have said then. So then, whether or not a language has a word for a certain color is a combination of universal and cultural knowledge. The basic color categories of black and white, or dark and light, seem to be universal. Every language has words for these. The other colors, on the other hand, depend on the culture and history of the word and the language. So, this is the key point. Now you can see how categories are both universal and cultural knowledge. Before I end, let me give one more example: seaweed. Look at this table here. This compares the number of categories for seaweed in Japanese and English. In Japanese, there are two different categories. In English, there is only one category. This is a very simple example, but it shows clearly how culture plays an important role in determining which categories are in a language. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you next year at our university.